Good morning. I'm very glad that we are worshiping the true God, the Creator. And for our visitors, you are not here by accident. We believe that God sent you our way. If you have any questions about what we're doing here, and if you wanted to study the Bible, you can get with me and I'll be more than happy to answer those questions and study the Bible with you. I also want to ask you to pray for Mark Jameson, our preacher. He'll be back next week when it's Eastern time. And please come back, our visitor, come back for celebrate Easter with us. So the reason I'm asking you to pray for Mark, he's in a mission trip in Guyana. He's taking a team there. It's because my daughter is with him. He joined that mission trip. So I have more than reason to pray. So we're going to be talking in this message I'm going to share with you is found in 2 Kings chapter 5. I also want to mention that in our midst, this is a couple, Mr. and Mrs. Liu from China, and they are my students, that they are learning English. And I appreciate Mark McCall. He went to meet them just to make sure that they are learning English. And so Mark is fascinated that a Spanish guy is teaching a Chinese couple English. So I'm just using the gift that God has given me. Okay, the story of Naaman. Can we have my slides? To understand really this story, I need to give you a little background in order for you to appreciate what we're talking about. After Solomon died, the kingdom was divided. 10 tribes, they form what is called the Northern Kingdom, the Kingdom of Israel. 2 tribes, Judah and Benjamin, form the Southern Kingdom, the Kingdom of Judah. At this point, the people of Israel, the children of God, they engage in apostasy, worshiping other gods, deviating and destroying the covenant that they made with the Almighty God. At that time, a powerful prophet was ministering to the Northern Kingdom, Elijah. And he confronted the king many times, and he was ministering to them. Elijah, he was a powerful man in words and deed. And after God took him to heaven, Elisha succeeded him. Now, let's read the scripture here in 5:1. It said, "Now Naaman was a commander of the army of the king of Aram. He was a great man in the sight of his master, and highly regarded, because through him the Lord has given victory to Aram, and he was a valiant soldier, but he had leprosy." So here we have the Bible introducing this man. He is the chief military commander for the enemy of Israel. And the Bible says in 1 Kings 22, that this man have fought the people of Israel, the army of Israel, and have won the battles. And when every time that you read in the Bible that this man was valiant and a great man, what it means is that this man, to achieve what he did to be a commander in the Syrian army, this man was a cruel individual, unmerciful. Okay, the enemy of Israel. He had won many, many wars, many battles. He has all the medals, if you will. He has all the trophies. But what a sad story about this man. He could not enjoy that. He could not even go in parade to celebrate his victories. He had leprosy. Socially, then, he was isolated from his people, from his family. That was the condition. And I start wondering, why all this accomplishment, all of this medals and trophies, it means to him at that time? Worthless. If you cannot enjoy it, how in the world then you can even have pride on them? So, but the good thing, the things that you catch my attention, I know, and I hope that you do this. Do you see that the Bible says that the Lord gave this man success? This man might be violent or whatever, but the success came from the Lord. Something that even my mind cannot even comprehend. But that is the sovereignty of God. The sovereignty of God means that he will use anybody or anything to accomplish his plan. And that's a lesson, not just as an individual. If we deviate from the word of God, not to mention as a nation. We continue reading. Verse 2. Now, bands from Aram has gone out and has taken captive a young girl from Israel, and she served Naaman's wife, and she said to her mistress, "If only my master would see the prophet who is in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy." Now we have a young girl here, an Israelite, that unaware she became a missionary. She was taken from Israel and put in Syria. Again, the sovereignty of God is allowing this young girl to be in that predicament. And she became a missionary. One thing that I can tell you for what I'm reading here is that this young lady was raised in a godly home. And in spite of her circumstances, you know, she had more than a reason to be angry. She had more than a reason to say bad wishes to this man. In her mind, I was thinking that she would say, "Well, good that you have leprosy. You have killed my people. You have oppressed my people, and I wish you could die." No, she didn't do that. She took the circumstances because she cared enough, and she talked about her faith. She said, "Oh, I have good news for you. There is a prophet in Samaria. He will cure him." What a faith. I don't know if this woman, this young girl had a connection with Elisha. How in the world she would say, "Okay, are we setting him up, this man, for a failure?" Is Elisha would say, "Yes, I will cure him." But this young girl is acting on faith and said, "He will cure him." I'm sure that her family was mourning her loss every day, taking away from her home a very young age. But she has faith. What is the lesson? Brothers and sisters, wherever you are, if you have a job, if you start complaining, I can tell you this, God put you there because you are his or her speaker. You need to talk about the love of God, what God has done in your life, and say, I hate this job. I can't stand my boss. If you're a student, whatever it is where you are, that is the field of mission. You should be talking about the gospel of Jesus. God put you there. And we need to imitate this type of faith of this young lady. Then in verse 4, Naaman went to his master and told him that what the girl from Israel has said. Not really. He says, by all means go, the king of Aram replied. I will send a letter to the king of Israel. So Naaman left and taking with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 cents of clothing. In the letter that he took to the king of Israel, read, with this letter, I'm sending my servant Naaman to you so that you may cure him of his leprosy. As soon as the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his robes and said, am my God? Can I kill and bring back to life? What does this fellow send someone to me to be cured of his leprosy? See how he's trying to pick a quarrel with me. When Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his robes, he sent this message. Why have you torn your robes? Have the men to come to me, and he will know that there is a prophet in Israel. Amen. That right there is a prophecy that later on it will come to accomplish. The young girl says, told Naaman a specific instruction. He told him where and who. You go and see the prophet that is in Samaria. What did he do? Did he do that? No. Did he go to Elisha? No. All along when I was reading this, I started thinking, this might be a men thing. And I know my wife was sitting back there saying, amen. You don't listen to me. You don't hear what I'm saying. Yes, I need to hear more of you, Dan. So he sent a letter. The king of Syria, to the king of Israel. And that letter even doesn't mention Elisha. On top of that, Naaman, he takes millions of dollars worth of goods. It's a caravan of a convoy of things in there. He goes, because in his mind, he's prepared. He said, I know this is going to cost me a pretty penny, and I'm prepared for this. Okay, so he just go. Neither Naaman nor the king of Israel went to the right place. And despite that, the young girl says, you go to Samaria and see the prophet. She didn't say go and see the king. Gave me the specific instructions. And do you see how Elisha rebuked the king of Israel? He said, you had torn your robes. Have you embarrassed yourself? How come you cannot imitate this Gentile that at least in his heart is seeking God? We are in this crisis because you allowed to. We are in this crisis because of you. If you turn to God, we will enjoy the blessings of God like he promised to. Why don't you imitate this man? Inquire more about God. You are embarrassing to everybody. And so he created a crisis. When you are in crisis, where do you go to solve your crisis? To whom are you talking to? Be careful the places that you go when you are in hardship, when you are in difficult times. Be careful the person that you're talking to. If you are not in the right place or talking to the right person, you're making matters worse. In verse 9, it says, so Naaman, he went with his horses and chariots, and they stopped at the door of Elisha's house. Elisha sent a messenger to him and said, go, wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan, and your flesh will be restored, and you will be cleansed. Simple message, right? Go to the Jordan, immerse yourself 7 times, and you're going to be cured. Most of the times, God often gives us the simple instructions. So simple that most of the time, we make it or trying to make it simpler or complicated. If our religious neighbors, as Mark put it, would stick what the Bible said, we would not have any divisions or any contradictions if we just stick what the Bible says. Just to give you an example, that's a huge example. Plan of salvation. Jesus, when he resurrected in Mark 16:16, said he gave instructions, specific instructions to his disciples, and says, you go and preach the good news to every creature. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. The disciples, they carry out with that instructions. One proof is, in the day of Pentecost, Peter stood up. The first sermons that he preached, he told the people, you have killed the author of life, the one that you have been waiting for since the creation, Jesus, the Messiah, you have killed him. The people, they were cut to their heart in what they asked. So we are guilty. Then what should we do? And Peter says, the instructions of Jesus. He says, you repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. Simple. Now, our religious neighbors, they said, no. All you had to do is accept Jesus in your heart. Repeat a sinner prayer. And I wonder, where in the Bible is that? How come you don't stick what Jesus said, what the Bible says? Simple message. I'm sure that the people in the day of Pentecost, when they say, what should we do? If Peter would say, they were expecting that some repayment. Okay, sacrifice an extra bull. Get an extra lamb in here. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Verse 11. But Naaman went away angry and said, I thought that he would surely come out to me and stand and call out on the name of the Lord his God, wave his hand over the spot and cure me of my leprosy. Are not Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than any of the waters than Israel? Could I be washed in them and be cleansed? So he turned and he went home angry, in a rage. See, that's the problem. Naaman, he already had a preconceived notions how the treatment is going to be. He already having his mind worked it out, what the prophet is going to do. He was expecting a show. And when the show was not there, then he went home. He was angry. The other thing is that he took all the trouble to come all the way to see Elisha. And Elisha didn't give it a time of the day. He refused to give it a personal audience. He just sent a messenger. Tell him to go at the Jordan and wash, immerse him 7 times. At that point, Naaman, all his expectations were crushed. He said, man, there are better rivers than this. This is dirty waters, muddy river. I can go over there if the water is needed. He said, he's rationalizing, okay, the treatment. He started thinking, I thought that he would come over and start making all these rituals like we have today. All right. We're going to cure this person. People gathered around. And we have some people gathered around and they say, hallelujah. Yes, sir. Yes, Lord. And then he go, a man saying, screaming in the name. What a show. And I can tell you this. Prophets or miracle workers, they didn't act like that. They didn't provide a show, entertainment. And that's what people are looking for today. It was back then and it is today. You remember that even Paul, he rebuked the brothers in Corinth. Because some of them, in the middle of the service, stood up and they started prophesying. And others, they started talking in language. And it was a chaos. He rebuked them in 1 Corinthians 14. He said, brother, what are you doing? He said, if somebody that is not a convert and see all this chaos that is going on in that church, what are they going to think? That you're crazy. He said, no, you need to do this decent, in order. We are not here, the church or the gospel, we are not here to provide a show. Then 13. Naaman's servants went to him and said, my father, if the prophet had told you to do some great thing, would you not have done it? How much more then when he tells you, wash and be cleansed? Thank goodness for this, the servants of Naaman. They were bold enough to give him a good advice. And he needed to hear that. Of course, the servant, they use a brilliant approach. Look, all this caravan of things that you brought. Millions of stuff. Okay? Now, if you're willing to pay millions of dollars, even if the prophet would have said to you, okay, Naaman, go ahead and sacrifice 100 bulls, 100 animals, or 1,000 animals. You done it, right? Clean common sense. He says, He said, look, he's telling you it's free. Why don't you do that? Try it. The reason is that he hid his pride. It was too easy. And also humbling. Most of the times, we act like that. When we needed somebody to give us an advice, actually, what we're looking for is to hear what we want to hear. Do you agree with me? If somebody would say, not really. Your face and your attitude changes. But I can tell you this, and I think your parents have told you this. People who love you would tell you good advice. You have to listen. Now, if you want to hear what you want to hear, then the trouble continues. So good advice comes from good friends. Verse 14. So he went down and dipped himself in the Jordan 7 times as the man of God had told him. And his flesh was restored and became clean like a young boy. Obedience. What happened? The end result. Naaman, he received the gift of the grace of God. Naaman did exactly what Elisha told him. And I can tell you that every time that he submersed himself, one, it was a step of faith, believing and trusting what God had told through the prophet every time that he went down. And that is the key. For us, if we need to enjoy the blessings of God, we need to be obedient and trust that God is working out for the best. 15. Then Naaman and all his attendants went back to the man of God. He stood before him and said, "Prophecy fulfilled. Now I know that there is no God in all the world except in Israel. What Elijah told the king, send it to me, and he will know that there is a prophet, there is a God in Israel." Here is confession number one that Naaman said, "Now I know that there is no other God than the Creator, the God of Israel." Then he said, "Please accept now this gift from your servant." Verse 16, the prophet answered, "As surely as the Lord lives, who I serve, I will not accept a thing, even though Naaman urged him, but he refused." "If you will not," said Naaman, "please let your servant be given as much earth as a pair of mules can carry, for your servant will never again make burnt offering or sacrifice to any other god but to the Lord." Life was changing. This man found the truth, and he was convicted to the point that not just his physical change, but also his heart change. You can imagine now when he goes back, do you think, according to his confession, and here, he said, "I would not engage in any ritual, in any worship that the Syrians, they're involved." When he goes to home, what do you think he would say to his family, his household? "Get rid of all this stuff. Get rid of all the things." That's why he said, "I want the earth," because he wants to worship the true God. He found the truth, and he was committed to that truth. And I'm sure that that will cost him being in that higher positions. Incidentally, I think that somebody, one of the servants, went ahead and told the news to Mrs. Naaman. "Mrs. Naaman, you have a problem, ma'am. You remember your husband? You will not recognize him, so be prepared." I'm just saying. The other thing is this. We have said this many times. Brothers and sisters, material things cannot bring fulfillment to your life. If that would be the case, rich people or wealthy people will be enjoying life. They are miserable people. Why they turn into drugs? Why they commit suicide? Is that the answer? Because material things cannot satisfy. The other thing is that when you start wishing, "Oh, I wish to have a better house. I wish to have a better whatever, car, whatever, then I will be happy. Be content, because things in your life can change just like that. Be content. So that's the message. My question to you is this. What is the leprosy that you're dealing with today, or you've been dealing all this time? Is it leprosy of the heart? Leprosy of relationships? How are you going to leave this place? I think that you are in the right place. Are you going to leave angry? Are you going to leave the same? How are you going to deal with your leprosy? There's no other way that you can deal with your leprosy unless you become obedient. First thing first, if you haven't found salvation, now this is the opportunity, is to confess the name of Jesus, to be submissive to him, and repent and immerse in water, and then you will walk a new life. How are you going to leave this place? Carry on with your own leprosy. For how long? When the answer is right here. God is appealing to you. If you have any needs, we can help you with that. Will you please stand, come forward if you need some help, and we're gladly to do that.
Have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make.